This podcast has been produced by MindHiveNetwork.com.
Hi, and welcome to another MindHive podcast. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening again. Today's episode, we're looking at the idea of confession to one another, or vulnerability, or just being open with the people around you. And I'm chatting with a lady from the church that I've been attending on the weekend, and her name is Kelly Cheers. She's also one of the Kin Women. I've been producing a podcast for the Kin Women once a month at the minute. You can find them on iTunes. Just search Kin Women, all one word, and you'll find those girls. They have a really good chat, actually. I recommend it. This episode today, we're looking at the idea of confessing to one another and what that actually means. I've got some thoughts at the end of the podcast that you should probably check out as well. Right now, Kelly starts off by saying it's one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah, that we just don't explore because of history or because of something that's gone wrong, or because it is so counter to our humanity that you think, I just want to avoid it. And I think confession's one of those things. Because you think, I can understand the concept of confession if I go into a closet with someone who will never speak of it again. But any other form of confession outside of that, it does feel dangerous. And actually it is. It is to a certain extent.
What do you mean by dangerous? it's a form of being vulnerable, of being open to people, which is, I guess, yeah, you're right. It is. It's dangerous because they can do what they want with it.
Yeah. So so when I'm saying dangerous, I'm thinking that they can do what they like with it. They can interpret it. They can repeat it in a way that it's taken out of context.
Yeah.
Do you know? And then you've got you in your mind, and I think what we've done is we've tried to make it a completely safe place by saying, like, the concept of confession, by saying, well, you know, you only tell someone who you know is never going to repeat something, right? And so you're always trying to find this unique friendship or a unique relationship, right? But the truth is that you can't always find that. And if you actually never take any risks in community, then you will never feel that closeness to people. So I guess for me, I think to myself, I do still think I'm guarded. I mean, I don't know how guarded are you?
I think... Like, my wife and I, Beck, have really, like, we admit how, like, it's easy to be vulnerable to each other.
Yes.
Like, within the safety of, like, a really safe marriage relationship.
Yeah.
And we actually find ourselves being really vulnerable with people and being very open to the point of damage to ourselves, really, because, like, I mean, like, I've... What's happened before is an example of that is I told my workplace that we were planning on moving to Queensland and that I should up and I went along this whole thing because I didn't want to do wrong by them. I wanted to tell them. I want to be upfront. I don't want to be holding anything back from them, because you want to do right by them. And that whole thing meant that I lost my job without actually moving to Queensland, which is just... What are you doing, Tim?
It is really difficult, isn't it?
Am I going, well, let's not be so vulnerable next time.
I know. And I think that's the space. Those kind of things, there's all these different... So some of them about, like, that's about, like, these life choices, right? That can do it. Then it's about your history. You know, how much can you really tell people without having a sense that some people will judge that and put you into a box or have a wariness about you? So I think that's it, or even family history, you know, about different things. I think there's lots of reasons. So I am all for being wise, okay? I'm all for being wise. But I guess I'm also trying to counterbalance this with, if you're not vulnerable, right? If you don't have a sense of authenticity in the way you speak to people about yourself, that you never actually get to enjoy those friendships of that, you know, that idea of a three... stranded rope, you know, tied together, which cannot be broken.
Yeah, and you just said a statement leading into that well before that was saying that
that's what we're looking for when we have friendship. That's what we're looking for when we have, you know, a relationship, like whether it be, you know, a marriage relationship, or so we're craving the ability to be open with people. Like we actually want that. And so when you're in a relationship or a friendship or you know, whatever it might be, that and you're closing off to that person, you're missing something that is special there, and you're missing what you actually want as well. Like deep down, we want that, and then, you know, it's tricky because you never get the full benefit of relationship. What you're saying, you know, those three pronged
cord. Strand, those three cord strand tied together. Yeah, you don't get that without this kind of
without
risk.
Being open and risk. Yeah, great.
I've got this. I'm really, really fortunate. I would suggest when I turned 50, which was a few years ago now, I decided to go out to dinner just with my girlfriends, right, my closest girlfriends. And the amazing thing was looking around this room of about 12 of us, and the most recent girlfriend there was 15 years of friendship, and the oldest girlfriend there was 41 years of friendship.
Oh, wow.
And as I looked around the room, and we laughed a lot and, you know, talked about like crazy things, good and bad, we'd all done. But I guess the most wonderful thing was to think, you know what, these girls know they know the real flaws in me. They know the cracks. They're not kidding. They're not deluded here. And they know the great things about me, and they know all the in between. And we so love each other. And I would have a sense of their protection at my back on any occasion I could imagine.
Yeah,
and I thought, you know what? As I looked around, that doesn't come easy.
Yeah,
just doesn't come easy. And part of it has been that they're the girls I have actually revealed myself to over those years, you know. And it's very, very wonderful. So I think that's the real intimacies, and maybe wider community not going to have that, I expect. But I think we should be pressing towards trying to experience true friendship.
Yeah.
Not becoming so nervous about it that we just retreat from people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what the scripture says. That's where we read it. Like, you know, confess your sins one to another.
Yeah.
Like, and sins, you know, not necessarily like your deepest, hardest, you know, trying to, because I think like when I was at home group the other night, they were talking about like confession for some people brings up all of these ideas of, because they've been brought up in Catholic tradition, which is, you know, confession is a big part of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a young girl, one of the ladies there would go to confession and she's like, I don't know what sins to say here. I'm going to just make something up.
Wouldn't have to. There you go.
Forgive me, Father. I've sinned again. And just like make something up. Like, you know, and so we kind of like put, we can, you know, it's easy to put confession in the bag of, you know, let's reveal our deep, dark, you know, sin. Yeah. This sin has this connotation that it's really bad. But it's actually just falling short of any particular moment. It's just a sense of vulnerability with the people around us, that you can be open and engaging with the reality of any given issue.
Yes.
Like you can face up to whatever that might be. Yeah. This is me.
And just be fresh. Just say those thoughts that you've got. I agree. I think the problem with confession is it often sounds like it is your deepest, darkest sins. And you know what? They are the things that you've got to work through. And you might do that in a very more limited, in a more limited format. But you know what? Every single day I've got something to confess. You know, those thoughts have just come in. You know, I just wasn't kind. I just made an assumption here. And gosh, I don't want to have that. You know, I don't want to be proud. I want to retain a sense of humility. I think I'm struggling here. Or alternatively, I feel so overwhelmed and I feel so unworthy. And saying it to people, not just so that they'll reassure you, but that they'll truly understand you. They'll truly understand you. I like that. There's that Leonard Cohen song. You know that song, The Anthem.
Which one?
It says, ring the bells that still can ring, forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that brilliant?
Isn't that a great, I've got some homework to do.
That's how the light gets in. Like when you confess, it's like, they show you cracks. That's how the light gets in.
Yeah.
And I think, I always say to myself, you know, it's all right to have the cracks, Kelly, because that's also how the light gets out. You know, the light that's in you, people through the cracks actually get to see him. So I think that's the wonder of, you know, the word, perhaps even of vulnerability, being really closely linked to confession as opposed to the word sin. Because surely we are confessing sins, but they're not the deepest, darkest secrets. They're actually just the breaks in you and me.
Yeah.
Let's just be a bit more vulnerable about them, because people don't, they're not doubting it really. They all know that we've got them. It's just
something off-putting about a person if you think they're perfect as well. Like you don't even want to approach them.
Yeah.
Like you have those idols that is kind of like, oh, that person is just so amazing. You know, because you hold them in such high regard that you think that they don't have any sin.
Yeah. And I can't possibly let them get close to me, because they're going to realize that I am completely broken down. But at the same time, you know, I think we all love it. I don't think when we talk about something we've all done wrong, not in terms of 10 years ago, I'm going to tell you something happened, but like yesterday, I just did this. You know what I mean? Like, I was really, really bent tempered with the kids. You know what I mean? Like, the way I treated my husband was just appalling. People think, oh, gosh. And you think, because I am a work in progress. I am changing. I am becoming more like him. And I am so glad for that.
And the day you're not is the day that you're moving backwards. Like, you know, I don't want to, you know, like say, give it too much of a descriptive example of it. But if we become all about us and we've, you know, it's almost like the exclusive club where you can say, oh, we've received God's love. We've received God's acceptance. Mm. So we've received his forgiveness and it's ours. Mm. And, you know, it's almost like you're missing the point, and you're not transforming anymore to a very inclusive way of living, which is the goal, right?
Which is the goal. And I think that goal is to, you know, be continually changing, and that goal is to be, you know, showing what God is like in your life, and to lay a little bit out there so people get to see it and people get to join. Because there was no, for us, isn't it, becoming Christ followers wasn't because of our worthiness. It wasn't, and we aren't exclusive in terms of this club is actually for the whole world.
Yeah.
And I think when you get your head around that, and when you realise that other people could all be invited into it, it really is, I think, the way God is best seen. Wow. Yeah, it's great.
Wow. I think that's a pretty good spot to wrap it up.
Fantastic. Thanks, it's good, Kelly, having a chat to you. See ya.
How good is that? Kelly, cheers, folks. Now, I've got a few thoughts just coming out of that, because the scripture says that we should confess our sins one to another. That's what it says in James chapter 5. And it says it so that we would be made whole or healed or, you know, one. There's a couple of different translations that could go there for that word, apparently, if you look at the Greek word, and it's talking about our completeness. And so there's a little bit of a thing that happens when I don't know, maybe if I say confession to you, like you're a little bit jaded, or like you've got connotations that go with that word that are quite negative or something. Maybe you've grown up in a Catholic church where confession is ritual and it doesn't mean anything to you. I think, like, sometimes, you know, there's possibility that by confessing to a screen or someone behind a curtain, it takes away some of the truth or some of the power of confession, because it's supposed to be a relational thing. But if you're, you know, if you're very closed, maybe that confessing to a, you know, a cloth with a person behind it, maybe that's what you need to spark something of truth that should be permeating from our lives. In the church that I grew up in, we would always talk about positive confession, and you know, that was the idea that, you know, we would confess, we would find a promise in the Word of God or a good thing about God that we wanted to see happen in our life, and we would confess that out as if, you know, we wanted that to happen, and we would repeatedly go after that one thing. And I've got no problem with that, but at the same time, there was something that happened when I was in that environment that we just wasn't quite right, and that was this, is that because we were so easy. Like every time an issue came along that, you know, maybe it was something negative that happened in someone's life. Maybe it was, you know, something that was really dark. Maybe it was something that was hurtful or painful or, you know, any given issue that we're going through in life. And the solution that I was encouraged to do was to look to God, to look to the positive, which is fine. But sometimes you can go to that positive confession prematurely. And so I would encourage you to just, the idea is that you face your circumstance. You face the darkness for what it is. And from there, yeah, sure, go and pray, go and meditate on positivity, go and find truth within Scripture that's really going to encourage and enlighten your soul. But don't use it as something to hide from the darkness. Don't use positive confession as something that pulls you away from recognizing something that you might just need to face. I mean, Jesus is the classic example for me. Like, he saw the cross was coming and knew that it was going to be horrific, but he faced it and he took it on. And on the cross, he's like, God, why have you forsaken me? And that's a bit offending to some people because they're like, how could God forsake his son? And that is the genuine feeling that Jesus felt on the cross. And he didn't shy away from it and positive confess his way out of it. He just said, no, this is my circumstance. This is the harsh reality of what it's like to be crucified. And so I just want to just give that little bit of light and shade around confession, whether it might have been a negative word or, you know, you might want to, you know, really charge yourself up and positive confess things. Don't take away something that, you know, the idea of confession is that we are honest and open with our circumstance and that we're honest and open to the people around us. That's all I got time for this episode. Make sure you reach out to us. We've got plenty of social media ways for you to do that. We've got Twitter, we've got Facebook, we've got Instagram. Email address is hellomindhive@gmail.com. I'm always looking, always encouraged by people getting in contact with us. So anyway, thanks for sticking around. Peace to you, folks.